How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me,
the genes of you and me,
we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made of DNA.
Hello and welcome to DNA Today. I'm your host, Kira Dineen. DNA Today informs you on what's happening in the genetic world, shows with packed news stories, lessons, interviews, all to keep you updated and educated on the ever-changing world of genetics. You can tune in Mondays at 11:30 a.m. to hear me live on whus.org or on the radio if you're in the Storrs, Connecticut area, 91.7 FM. You can also listen to all episodes on dnapodcast.com. They're all archived right there. Today, I'm talking about a recent event at Jackson Laboratories, the Bioscience Career Forum 2, Women in Biosciences. It happened on March 11, 2016, at Jack's new location on UConn Health's campus in Farmington, Connecticut. It's about 2 years old at this point, I believe. Almost three. And this event was in response to Jackson Laboratories Bioscience Career Forum back in December 2015, not too long ago. And this had an overwhelming response, and participant feedback from that was to have more focus on women in biosciences. Thus, this event was born, Women in Biosciences. So it was really a follow-up of the original forum on just biosciences, really focusing on women in biosciences and having that angle and perspective. So students from various educational levels and bioscience-related fields attended JAX. Dr. Albert Chang presented on the gene editing technology CRISPR, and along with learning more about applying to jobs, finding internships, networking, and interviewing skills, students heard from Ellen Matloff, who spoke about society's impact on girls and women pursuing careers in the biosciences. And Ellen Matloff is also my boss at My Gene Council. She's a fantastic boss, mentor, and role model, and I'm really excited to share with you what she talked about in her keynote address, because I think these are very relevant to today and what a lot of people are experiencing, and just things to be aware of and how we can change things from a lot of different perspectives, students' perspective, administrators, professors, bosses. So she really covers a lot of information, and her talk wasn't that long too, so it was very poignant. So Ellen kicked off the discussion of women in biosciences by paralleling her story as a woman in bioscience with how society influences girls and women who pursue academics in the careers. And this was followed by a panel discussion about skills needed to land a job and an overview of women in biosciences. So it was a panel of women from Jackson Laboratories and UConn Health. And so Ellen's story started in second grade. She went all the way back to second grade. So she told this story of coming home from school and explaining to her mother that, quote, "A kid in my class told me only dads have real jobs and that moms stayed at home and cleaned the house and take care of the kids." And my mom looked at me and said, "Honey, I heard that a few times before." So Ellen's mother is an obstetrician and her father's a surgeon. Her grandmother was an attorney at a time when most women didn't even go to college. So her aunts and uncles are physicians, accountants, engineers, and bankers. And with all these successful role models, it never occurred to her that women wouldn't have real jobs or go into the math and sciences. And her family sent her positive messages about gender equality, and she really had all these positive role models in her life showing her that, yeah, you can go out, you can do these things, you can go to school for math and science, you can do really well in the professional world. So she posed a question to the audience. What messages are we sending to many girls and boys about careers in the biosciences today? And I have to say, one of the most impactful moments of Ellen's keynote address was a story of two female elementary school students. So a school in the greater New Haven area hosted two events for their students. Girls were invited to a father-daughter dance, while boys were invited to attend a mother-son Star Wars night at the Science Museum. Now, these two girls asked their dad if they could go to the Science Night instead because they wanted to see Star Wars. They wanted to interact with the different interactive events at the Science Museum instead of going to a father-daughter dance. They were more interested in that. So their father contacted the principal and asked that both events be open to both sexes. And his girls were given permission to attend, but their female friends were not. So they were reluctantly declined because it wasn't fair for them to be able to go and other girls not to be able to go. But this raises an important question. Are we taking into consideration the fabric of families today? We have solo parents, same-sex parents, families in which one parent is deployed or deceased, children raised by grandparents or other adults, and other families who don't follow typical gender stereotypes. And events like these are not inclusive of all families. And Ellen commented that these events sent her a message. Quote, if you are a girl, please show up to a dance and look pretty. But if you want to learn about science at the museum, you must be a boy. And this is not the message we want to send to our daughters or sons. We want to show that both our daughters and sons can go for math, can go for science, or whatever they're interested in, social studies, English, arts, that there really shouldn't be a divide and a bias for which they should go into. It really should be total open doors. So how can girls get involved and supported in a career in bioscience? So Ellen stressed the importance of strong female role models. She had many throughout her education, not just in her family, but through her education in her schools. So after graduate school, she was hired at Yale, and Ellen found that one of her best mentors in bioscience was a man, Dr. Vince DeVita. And he is world-renowned for being the head of the National Cancer Institute and a pioneer in the treatment of lymphoma. He has a long track record of hiring, supporting, and promoting women. And women having careers in bioscience is really a joint effort between men and women. And she said men are often the best advocates for women in biosciences, which I definitely agree with. And having that joint effort between men and women is something that I think has been brought to light more recently. Emma Watson, who is most famously known for playing Hermione in the Harry Potter series, she has recently taken a break from acting to focus on gender equality, and she started her own campaign called He for She that talks just about that, of in order for women to kind of achieve more equality in society, we need men to back women up and really for us all to be feminists. So Ellen has since had many accomplishments. Under Vince DeVita, she founded the Cancer Genetic Counseling Program at Yale. It started in her office, which it was quite funny when she was describing it, because it was a converted filing cabinet, and she was able to touch all of the walls from just her desk. So very, very small. But when she left 18 years later, it had expanded and grown into one of the best programs in the country, which is quite an accomplishment. She was also a lead plaintiff in the gene patenting case in 2013, which ended in a unanimous decision in a usually divided Supreme Court justices in her favor against gene patenting. Now, not all women receive the encouragement that Ellen has grown up with and continues to receive. There are people in the workforce that not only support women, that not only not support women, but are against them. British biochemist Nobel Prize winner Tim Hunt was quoted recently sharing his thoughts of women in the laboratory, and this is quite impactful. Take a listen to this. He said, quote, "Let me tell you about my trouble with girls. Three things happen when they're in the lab. You fall in love with them, they fall in love with you, and when you criticize them, they cry." I'll just let that sit for a minute. He then followed up with the support of single-sex labs. He then resigned from his position and said he was only joking. But these are topics not to be joked about, and oftentimes stems from beliefs a person holds, that if they're making a joke, it may come with a grain of truth to it. Now, a lot of female scientists took this very, really insulting quote from Nobel Prize winner Tim Hunt and kind of turned it around on social media. They posted pictures of themselves and hashtagged it distractingly sexy. So pictures of themselves included catching frogs, gopher trapping, and doing all the things we know as scientists are anything but sexy. Now, what can we do to welcome men and women in the biosciences? Ellen talked about a lot of different things that a lot of different people can do to engage both genders in the biosciences. The first thing she mentioned was an opportunity of job shadowing should start not in high school or college, but in elementary schools, to really open that up to be able for young kids to be able to job shadow and get exposure to different careers. Internships should be offered. Ellen shared that, quote, some of her best opportunities have been through internships. And even internships that make you realize the field you're being in is not for you is really beneficial. If you, work in a lab, or if you are job shadowing someone in a lab and you realize, you know what, I don't think I'm really cut out for lab work. I think I'm more of a people person or something. That is a really good step in your career, because you realize that maybe what you thought you wanted to go for isn't what you actually want to go for, and you save yourself a lot of time by doing so. And also the reverse, if you have a job shadowing experience of a career you're really interested in, and it can validate and confirm a lot of those feelings to then continue pursuing that career. And in order for all these shadowing internships to become available, we need to encourage mentoring and teaching opportunities. And we can offer compensatory time and promotional credits in order to achieve that, and really kind of reward the people that are taking their time to teach younger children. So it's important to limit gender bias messaging, including gender bias social activities with colleagues. So an example is like a golf game for male employees. It's just not acceptable unless everybody in the office or lab or wherever your work environment is invited. And many times the people who go to these social activities are the ones that get promoted. And that's just not acceptable. You can't have people, only some people allowed to go to these events, and they're the ones that end up kind of moving up in the ranks of a company. Another major point she made was to not participate in gender jokes and speak up when they are made. Many women are leaving science and technology fields because of sexual harassment, so we need to discourage and report that as well. We need to elect leaders who value equality and demonstrate respect so that others can follow in their footsteps. Administrators and teachers can offer equal opportunities of jobs, pay, raises, promotions, benefits, and travel conferences. And we need equal representation on committees and leadership positions. One of the things that I think is most important to people in today's world is flexibility. Flexibility to employees is important and should not be socially judged. Men shouldn't be afraid to take a paternity leave. Ellen had an employee who enrolled her son in a summer camp for 6 weeks, but in order to get him to camp, she would have to be half an hour late for those 6 weeks. So the woman added up all these potential hours she would miss and asked if she could use vacation days for it by seeing how many days it would equal up to. And it wasn't in the rule book, but Ellen let her do it. And she described the woman looking at her like she had given her the moon and the stars. So really, by offering flexible schedules, a company is showing an employee that their family life is really important. And that's really how you build a committed staff and people that are not going to want to be at other companies because they know they have the flexibility that they really need in order to balance work and life. That's probably, especially to me, one of the most important things in a career and in jobs in that career, to have that flexibility to be able to balance your crazy work life, but also have a personal life. And administrators is the last she mentioned. And they can reward the leaders who are doing it right. Reward monetarily, publicly, and repeatedly. Those are the three things she said: monetarily, publicly, and repeatedly. And show people who are treating women and men equally that you really appreciate it. And that's definitely going to increase equality in society and in the workforce. So Ellen's advice for students. She said, let there be no limit. Whatever interests you, look into it. Go for it. And you can succeed by choosing supportive mentors. And what's great about today's technology, it allows us to connect with just about anyone through social media. I was able to actually get my internship with Ellen through social media. We met through a colleague of hers that came on my show, and she brought Ellen onto this show, for those of you that may remember. And that started out my internship. That's how we met and connected, through social media. So don't limit yourself by fear and apply for the opportunities that are out of reach. Don't be intimidated and feel like there's someone that's too famous or too successful, to approach, because there are so many ways now that we can, reach out to people that you don't need to be, geographically close to them. You can reach out to someone if you're in Connecticut, you can reach out to someone in California that you read their paper and it was really impactful to you, or you want to learn more about it or anything along those lines. All it takes is an email. And if you find someone on Twitter, for instance, I've connected with a lot of people on Twitter, to go out there and reach for that too, because, you know, all it takes is a couple messages back and forth, and you may develop a really strong connection that you can continue on. And Ellen actually found success through this. When she was young, she read an article in JAMA about personalized medicine and hormone replacement therapy, and it went hand in hand with a hypothesis she had. So, you know, not letting fear limit her, she contacted the lead author and shared this idea that she had. And the author came back and said, yeah, we should write a grant together, which surprised Ellen and was really, really awesome that she was just able to reach out to her and they started writing a grant. She ended up being the PI, and it's really what Ellen attributes to launching her career. So definitely don't be limited by fear and especially rejection. It was interesting how Ellen was talking about how many times she's been rejected. And people always say to her, wow, you have so many publications and stuff. And she said, you should see my rejection pile if you think my publication pile is high. So I thought that was really cool because I think a lot of times in our society, and especially, you know, kids in high school and college, rejection is seen as such a really negative thing. And you really should look at it like, okay, it's an opportunity to look at maybe, you know, what I did wrong, if you did anything wrong, or say, wow, all right, well, I reached for that, didn't end up getting it, but it could have turned out to be something, so I'm still glad I did it. Ellen really stresses supporting other scientists, especially on social media. She's really big on social media. And one of the questions that she gets a lot is, can I have a career in personal life, having a scientific career? And she said, yes, although you may not always have everything at the same time. And this is something that was talked about in the panel afterwards. A panel was made of women from Jackson Laboratories and UConn Health. And they talked about this, too, this question of, can I have a career in personal life? And it was really interesting to hear the perspectives of women. And the consensus was that at certain times in your career, you may be really focused on your job, and that's really the only thing you can do. But that time will kind of let up where you can then really have family be number one. So it was kind of an interesting perspective on that, that, you know, at one time, you're not going to be able to, you know, have all areas of your life have the same prioritized on your list. But it kind of ebbs and flows. And I think that was a good thing to hear from people that are already have very established careers talking to students, because it's something to be aware of. And Ellen really stressed that we should choose our careers carefully and consider questions such as, will your career involve a lot of travel? Will it require call nights and weekends? Is this compatible with the life you see for yourself? Also, to choose your boss carefully, to explore your boss's track record. Does your boss support women? Are there other women in leadership positions? To be very mindful of what the work environment looks like when you go for that interview. To say, all right, so there seems to be, you know, 90% males here, or they're really the only ones that are in high positions are males, or the opposite of that, to really just kind of get a good census of what that work environment is going to be like. And the next point is one that Sheryl Sandberg has really spoken out about, which Ellen also mentioned during her talk, is to choose your spouse carefully. Find someone that supports you in your career and partner in family duties that women sometimes are kind of attributed with the household duties of the house, whereas Ellen and Sheryl Sandberg have both talked about shaking this up and really having more equality at home and the workforce to really have that dual benefit. And Sheryl Sandberg, in her book Lean In, she really talks a lot about how she attributes much of her success to her husband, who was really a key part in her success, as he was a really active and engaged father who really took a lot of the responsibilities and allowed her to be able to have this career and be very successful. So Ellen Matloff left Yale 2 years ago to start MyGene Council, and she's now the founder and president of MyGene Council, and she shared her own quote to express her career choices and kind of recent changes in her career, being the founder of this new company and stepping out of being at Yale for 18 years. Sometimes neither of the existing paths work. It is then that you take out your machete and cut a third path. So with that, she really left students in the audience feeling impressed by her courage to speak out about these issues, inspired to support these ideas, and really excited to jump into their careers without fear limiting their potential. That was definitely one of the main points that I got out of it, to not let fear prevent you from doing things and just kind of going for things. Because rejection is not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's definitely a learning experience. And Ellen ended her talk with asking people to take part in a Twitter poll, which you can still take part in. So the question is, what was the most memorable issue discussed? And I covered a lot of things that Ellen talked about, not all of them, but you can still take part based on what I've shared today. And you can tweet at MyGeneCouncil with hashtag JAXBSF. That's for Jackson Labs Bioscience Forum. That's what that stands for. And share your thoughts on any of these issues, anything that kind of sparks in your mind from this. And you can actually watch a video of the entire forum on Jackson Laboratory's website. The link's kind of long, so I'm going to put it in the show notes so you can access it. And I really have to say, overall, the event was an awesome experience. It was really great to hear about CRISPR at the beginning of the event, that gene editing technology. And Dr. Chang made a lot of cool jokes. Kind of, he was talking about making Star Wars references, and he really made such a complex issue very digestible. CRISPR is a very complex technology. Very interesting, though. I'm currently learning about it. And I'm excited to share about it on the show once I get a little bit better grasp on it. But he was really great in presenting that. And Ellen's keynote was followed up, as I said before, by a panel. And the panel was very, very interesting. And they provided a lot of different viewpoints on things and was able to provide a lot of information. They answered one of my questions, which I was really excited about, of advice on applying to grad school and if you should apply for grad school straight out of undergrad or wait a year. And they answered a lot of other questions from students that they submitted online, like mine, and then some just from the audience. And after that, there was a speed networking event. So part of the crowd was able to go in and speed network at these different tables, kind of like speed dating, which was really cool. I think a lot of people enjoyed that from kind of looking in on that. And the other part was a student poster presentation. And I was able to talk to two students about their work. One worked at Jackson Laboratories, and she was talking about long non-coding RNAs, which kind of sounds like an oxymoron if you know anything about RNAs. But it was really cool to hear the research that she's doing with that at Jackson Labs. As a student, how she got involved with Jackson Labs, which is always a good question to ask if you're talking to someone, how they got in the position they're in. But she was talking about her research with that, and there's not a lot of research on long non-coding RNAs. And I talked to another young gentleman about his work, and he's from Eastern, and he was researching, some sort of bug, I can't remember now, a scorpion, and he was researching the different classifications of scorpions in this one area near the Colorado River. And because of the way the Colorado River shifted, he was able to work with a professor and see how that affected the different classes of them, and how the different species, really, I should say, and how they were able to or not able to breed because they had evolved so much over X amount of years. So it was really interesting, and the event really, I would say, was a big success. There was over 100 people there at Jackson Labs for this event, and I really look forward to more events at Jackson Labs. I always really enjoy going to them, and you just learn so much and meet so many people. So if you're ever at a Jackson Lab event, definitely say hi to me if I'm there. I love meeting fans. So that wraps up today's episode of DNA Today. You can tune in next week, Monday at 11:30 a.m. on WHUS.org or 91.7 FM if you're in the Storrs, Connecticut area to learn more about genetics. You can go to dnapodcast.com. That's where all the episodes are and other information about the show. That's really the hub for the podcast / radio show. And the link to the full video of the forum, I'll put in the show notes there. So you can just find today's episode on DNA Podcast for that. Twitter at DNA Podcast and at Kira Dineen. And if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me an email. Shoot the questions in an email to me, info@dnapodcast.com. So thanks so much for listening, and join me next week again, Monday, 11:30 a.m., to learn and discover new advances in the world of genetics.